Well, good morning. My mic working today? Eric, we're good? Thank you. All right, so we are doing something a little bit different. If you're asking where's communion, where's offering at, we're going to do that after the sermon today. And Kevin and I talked to the elders about this, and we wanted to do this. And so we're going to try this out today. And so we're going to have communion and offering, and Steve West got a communion meditation prepared, and so that's going to happen as normal. And so you still have a chance if you would take the cards in front of you, our Connect cards, and fill that out. If you have a prayer request or if you have something you need us to pray about, we'd love to pray for you. And so when the offering plates come by, you can put those in there. Or if you're a first-time guest, we'd love for you to fill those out and let us know that you're here. Don Minky, our pastoral care minister, would love to call you. He loves to make phone calls, and so he would love to call you this week. And then also, if you're a guest with us this morning, we've got an info center in the back. We'd love for you to stop by. And then you also still have time if you have a phone. How many people, raise your hand, have your phone with you today? You can still check in on Facebook and let people know that you are here on Super Bowl Sunday. And so it's Super Bowl Sunday, and for most of us, our team is not in the Super Bowl. Where's Kevin at? Is Kevin back yet? He's back there still. He's doing something. But anyway, Kevin is a Patriots fan, so for him, yeah, he's a Patriots fan. Make sure and give him a hard time about that. There you go. So for most of us, our team did not get in. So some of us today will root against certain teams. Some of us are just excited about the commercials. Other of us will just enjoy this game today. And some of us won't even watch the Super Bowl today. Some of us just simply, it's not that important to us. It's kind of meaningless. But at the end of the day, there's going to be a team that gets the victory. And the hard work in this season will all be worth it. The time spent training, preparing will all be worth it. It'll be minor in comparison to the celebration that will happen as they all talk about going to Disney World or wherever they seek to go. But there will be a winner today, and it will be who executes the plan the best. I want to show a picture next, and it's a picture of my fifth grade football team. I was part of the, if you can tell which one I am, I'm the guy that looks like the Incredible Hulk in the back as I'm 3 foot bigger than everybody on the team. I don't know what my family was feeding me when I was young, but I obviously was a large young man. And actually, I was probably the youngest person on the team by a year or two, I think. But I was in fifth grade, and I was part of the first fifth grade Powell County football team. And we had two great coaches, Coach Riggs and Coach Allen, who I still love and keep in contact with. I'm very thankful for their influence on my life. But this is our first fifth grade team. If you can notice, we... especially the guy's name is Brandon, his nickname's Dito, but he's flexing his muscles there. He had none at that time, but he was still flexing them. But we thought we were awesome. We thought we were great. Our coaches had a great game plan for us of how we were going to win. It was the first year that Powell County had ever had a fifth grade football team. They had sixth grade before, they had seventh grade, eighth grade, so forth. But it was the first time we ever had fifth grade. And so I got to play on the very first fifth grade team. And let me tell you what, we came out and lost every game. I remember the day we were playing Estill County and growing up in Powell County. Estill County and Powell County, we're a little bit of rivals. I mean, just a little bit. Josh can attest to that. Josh Dawson over there, he knows about it. But we're a little bit of rivals. And I remember the Estill County game, the guy who, you can't see it, but he doesn't have on a uniform or practice jersey, Charlie Parks, he broke his arm in the Estill County game after scoring two touchdowns, and he was pretty much our best and only weapon we had. And that's actually his girlfriend at the time, right, that was next to him, and she became the running back. So we were desperate. We were desperate. We were really desperate. People ask me all the time, you know, about this picture because I have it in my office and, you know, why do I have this picture in my office? Well, for me, it's a good reminder of two things. It's a good reminder of how God was putting godly people around me at a young age and I didn't even realize it. And it's also a good reminder of the fact that God has a plan just as my football team had a plan and I don't always know what's going to happen, and I don't always know the results, but God does. And so we didn't win a game that year, but the next year in sixth grade, we were a lot better and won more games. We actually won games. But in seventh grade, we actually went to the district and were runner-up. And so it was a big deal. We had the same coaches, same game plan, and it just took hard work. And so I show you this picture because I think some of you are out there on a team. And I'm part of this team and actually had a conversation with a guy the other day. As I was talking to him, I was getting my oil changed. And if you know me, I've pretty much a pretty big personality, or I'm never scared to talk to anyone. I'm extroverted. And so there was a guy who was there, and I was just talking to him, and he was working in sales at this place, and we were talking about, you know, what each other did, and he said, so, you know, what do you do? And I said, well, let me tell you what, I'm part of the greatest organization in history. For the last 2,000 years, it has provided help to more people than any other organization ever. And I guarantee you this organization will never fail. He said, wow, that's pretty awesome. He said, you're a pastor, aren't you? I said, you must be a deacon at a church. He said, yeah, I am. I said, I knew it. You deacons always know stuff. But we were talking, and we were talking about the church. And as I was sharing about the church and my love for the church, and he was sharing about his love for the church, I realized we're all part of this team. Sometimes we go through bad times, though. Sometimes it feels like we're just not winning. Sometimes it feels like defeat is over and over and over again. Sometimes it gets discouraging and you don't want to go to practice. Sometimes you don't want to put forth an effort. Sometimes you don't want to continue on. Sometimes it's easier to stay home. Sometimes it's easier just to say, forget it. But let me tell you what, we didn't win any games that season, but our coaches never quit. They never stopped calling plays. They never stopped having practice. They never gave up on us. And at the end of the season, our coaches were still there to say, we're going to have a better year next year. And I want to tell you today that the person who's in charge of this church is not me, but it's Jesus Christ. And he still believes in you. And he still has a purpose for you. And he still has a plan. He has a plan for this church. And trust me, I'm not perfect. I messed up a bunch this week, and I could go into it, but I tell you what, all I did was mess up, I felt like. Wednesday was full of my mess-ups, of me saying things that were wrong and mistakes. And I'm a sinner, and I mess up. And sometimes I get down, and I get to a point where I think, God, how can we do this? And God says, you can't, but I can. As we just sung a wonderful song, as Laura led this into song, is at the cross where we bow our knees, where we find that hope, that promise in Jesus Christ. And so my challenge to you is this today, that we are going to be a church that is strong and courageous on God's word, and that we are going to continue on in the fight. So if you have your Bibles, please have your Bibles. I want us to be a BYOB church. Bring your own Bible, okay? Not bring your own something else, okay? But BYOB, bring your own Bible, okay? Now, two things I got to address today is I'm not using a manuscript, okay? I'm just using notes. A lot of people suggest that, Mitchell, you preach so well when you don't use a manuscript. And then they'll just stop right there. So I'm going to stop using a manuscript for a while, and I've just kind of memorized more, and I have just notes, and so I'm going to go through. And I'm just going to use scripture today. I don't have a lot of stories. We're just going to be in God's word. And then here's the other thing. You may be asking about the suit. Like, he kept his promise. He was true. He wore a suit. He said last week he was going to wear a suit. Well, okay, I have a funeral today for my great aunt, and so I have to leave right away and go to this. So, like I said, don't get used to this. But I did want to show Kevin up. I don't know where Kevin's at. He's still back there doing whatever, but I wanted to show him up because he said he was going to wear a tie. He didn't wear a tie. He let me down, but I wore a suit. So, but anyway, turn to Joshua chapter 1 if you have a Bible. If you have a phone, go ahead and get on the Bible app, but we're just going to be in God's word in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And I think this is a story that we can all relate to. It's a very powerful piece of scripture. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to go through the first 9 verses, but we're going to stop in between. Now, let me give you a little bit of the setting here. Joshua is kind of a commander for Moses. You remember Moses in the Old Testament? You know, pretty much anybody who's went to Sunday school or church in your life, you've heard Jesus and Moses. You know, and Moses is this guy who's a leader. He was raised up in Egypt, and he went away for Egypt for a while and came back because God was working on him, and he realized he needed to follow God's plan and his purpose, and God called him to take his people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And so God sends those 10 plagues to Pharaoh, and finally Pharaoh lets God's people go, and Moses and the Hebrews are out in the desert. And one of the corniest jokes ever, but one of my favorites is, what kind of coffee does Moses have? And he brews it, you know, he brews it. Corny, I know, but I like it. But let's go to the scripture, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. If you haven't noticed, I'm pretty relaxed today. I'm just going to say what I feel is on my heart. So, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. And so God has allowed Moses to lead the people of the Hebrews out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. And now they've been in the wilderness, and they've been in the wilderness. And as they're in the wilderness, God's providing food for them. He's providing a light for them. He's providing them a way to get to the promised land. But they've spent quite a time in there. And sometimes they got a little bit aggravated. And sometimes they complained. And sometimes they kind of just, well, God, why don't you do it? You know, it was better when we were slaves. And Moses has to kind of remind them, hey, listen, you know, God's providing. And so Moses doesn't make it to the promised land, though. He gets the Hebrews out of Egypt, but he doesn't get them to the final destination. Moses has a couple of different commanders, Joshua, Caleb, who are spies who do different things for Moses. But here Moses passes away, and God says, Joshua, you're going to be in command. You're going to take over. And so Joshua's in this place where here's Moses. I mean, he's the guy who led everyone out of Egypt. He's the guy who God has revealed the law to, the Ten Commandments. He's the guy that when he came down from the mountain, his face shined in a brightness because of seeing the presence of God or feeling the presence of God. And so here's Joshua, this guy that Moses has been preparing for this moment, this time that God has been working on. And God says, listen, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. And so listen to this, Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness, verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Now, what Joshua is hearing from God here is this promise that, listen, this is going to be your, I'm telling you about the promised land. And then verse 5, and this may be the most important verse, no man shall be able to stand before you in all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And if you have a Bible or if you have a phone or whatever, write this down, highlight this, so I will be with you. Joshua takes command, and God doesn't just say, figure it out. God doesn't just say, well, you know, whatever, pray about it. God doesn't just say, well, you know, okay, okay, Joshua, you can, you know, you can do this. I mean, no, God tells him, listen, so I will be with you. I will be with you. He's reminding Joshua that he was with Moses and he will be with him, that God has a purpose and a plan, and God is trying to carry out his purpose and a plan. And his purpose and his plan for that very moment in the small scheme of stuff was to get the Hebrews into the promised land. But there's more to that, and we know that that's coming with the redemption of all man through Jesus Christ, that he would come through the tribe of Judah. And so listen to the second part of that, verse 5. I will not leave you or forsake you. Sometimes life gets rough. Sometimes life is difficult, and we just wonder, God, where are you? We just wonder the question of, God, where are you at? Because my marriage is not where it needs to be. God, my faith is not what it needs to be. God, my finances are not what they need to be. God, my relationship with my kids is not what it needs to be. My friendships, my work relationships is not where it needs to be. God, have you just forsaken me? Have you left me? Have you abandoned me? Is there a purpose? Is there a point? God, do you still even care? And most of us through the week, if you're honest about it, would maybe say that maybe once a week or maybe more, maybe less, would say, God, are you still there? Do you still care? You know, yesterday we had a men's conference and Jody Burkeen was here. And for the men that were here, this message is very familiar to them. But for the men that were here, Jody Burkeen shared a great message yesterday. And he did a great job sharing with the men of the church about our priorities and about where we're supposed to look. And he simply said that, you know, as people, we should be praying, we should be studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and repenting of sin. And he asked this question that hit me hard. He said, how many people in here have read your Bible this week? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but just how many people have read your Bible this week? How many people have really prayed, and not just, Lord, fix my water heater, but how many people have really prayed, really gotten down and prayed and spent time with the Lord? And they started to ask some other questions that go into your relationship with your spouse. He said, who in here is praying with their spouse? Who in here is reading the Word with their spouse? And then he started taking it even a step further. Who in here has accountability? Someone to help you and guide you and correct you. Someone who's keeping you on the straight and narrow. Who is discipling you? And as he asked all these questions, I started to think there's some I could say yes to and some that I could say, sort of, yeah, maybe. And I went back, and as I was just processing that through my mind, I was just thinking, you know, I make all these excuses all the time of, God, I'm just going through this problem. God, I'm dealing with this issue. God, I just don't know what to do. And over and over and over, God has said, I have written you a love letter to share to you on what you're supposed to do. And you know what? This talks about finances. This talks about marriage. This talks about friendships. This talks about relationships. This talks about depression. This talks about anxiety. This talks about the things that we face in this world. But oftentimes, this is the last resource we use, when really it should be the first. And so here's what God is saying to Joshua. I'm going to be with you, and I will not leave you or forsake you. And once he tells him that, then he gives him the command of what he's supposed to be. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Reminds me of what Paul tells young Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy, where he tells him, listen, you don't have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love and discipline. As preachers, as teachers, we have the very Word of God to look at and to learn from and to gather from and to share from. And as Christians, we have the very Word of God and words from God of how we are to live and how we are to treat one another and love one another, how we are to act and how we are to conduct ourselves and how we are to repent and how we are to turn away, how we are to forgive. And so we can be strong and courageous in the Lord because God has given us a manual, a guide, a love letter, whatever you want to call it. He has given us a book that restores us back to Him because it leads us to a relationship, or it should lead us to a relationship of Jesus Christ. And that's it, is that our relationship with Jesus Christ should transform us. It should transform us. It should transform our mind, as Romans chapter 12 says. It should transform us daily. But then there becomes the question, what do we do? What do we do with this? Okay, yeah, so I know that the Lord has a purpose. I know the Lord has an ultimate plan and that we're all part of that plan. And his plan was to redeem mankind. And I know he's given us the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And I know that he's given us the call in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 to be his witnesses throughout the world. I understand that, but what does that really mean for us? Well, it means we need to be strong and courageous in it. It means we need to be focused on it. It means we need to be enduring pain when we have to. But also, we need to focus through persecution or through doubt or through troubles to focus back on God. 1 Peter chapter 5, my class on Wednesday night, we've been studying 1 Peter, and a passage of scripture I've read every day this week. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6 says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And then verse 7, maybe the most quoted verse about anxiety, but cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. But then listen to verse 8. We often read verse 7 and forget verse 8. But be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And so I want you to know that you have an enemy who is against you. You may think that everything is okay in your marriage and that really, yeah, I'm okay with my pursuit of God. But if you were really get down to it and you really ask yourself, and just be honest, if you asked your spouse, hey, do you think I'm really pursuing God? Do you think I'm really a disciple? What would they say? If you asked your kids, hey, am I really leading you in the Lord? Do you see Jesus through me? If you asked your closest friends, do you see Christ living in me? What would they say? If you asked the people you work with, if you asked the people that you have relationships with or interact with, what would they say? We'd all love to say that they would agree and say, oh, yes, you're a Jesus freak. Yes, you've got the love of God going through you. But if we were to really be honest, there's sometimes where it's not. Because what happens is the enemy is prowling around trying to get us to stumble. And oftentimes we do try to resist him, but we go through our own thinking that we can do it, not that God can do it through it. But look at verse 10. It says, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, then here's the part right here, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Now, what's great about that is it doesn't say Mitchell McIntyre himself will restore. It doesn't say that anybody but himself, Christ, it's a reference to him. It's a reference that God will do this, that God is the one who will restore. And so whatever trials, whatever temptations, whatever battle that you may be in at the moment, God is looking to restore you. But we have to resist and fight away. We have to be strong and courageous. And sometimes that's not always easy. Remember, Joshua inherited a group of people who were complainers. And sometimes people complain. Sometimes people want their way over God's way, as we all do. That sometimes we think that our way is better than what God can do. But the truth is that if we really did biblical things or Bible things and Bible ways, that it would be better for us. But what happens? Opinions creep in. Things happen in life where we just think it should be this way. But we are called to be strong and courageous. We have a plan and a victory to go to. We have a final judgment to face. We have a celebration to attend. There is a house that is waiting, a mansion that is waiting for us. There is a spot at the king's table for everyone. And so let us be strong and courageous in that. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Now listen, he goes back to the law of Moses here and he says, listen, I've given you these instructions, so here's what you need to follow. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may go, that you may have good success wherever you go. And then look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And so the Lord has just laid out a game plan, a strategy. He's given the playbook to Moses and now passed it on to Joshua that's saying, listen, I'm not just created you so that you would have a relationship that is distant, but I've created you that I would give you instructions, that I would give you a way of how to live, how to interact, how to please me, but also so that you would be prosperous, that you would have good success, as it says here. And then we go to verse 9. Have I not commanded you? The question's asked, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, there's two great things about this. Have I not commanded you? Here's the reassurance to Joshua. Listen, it's the Lord God. Have I not commanded you this? Have I not told you this? Have I not said this to you? Have I not made this promise to you? A lot of times we think that God doesn't care. We think that God is missing from the picture or showing up late. And we wonder, God, where are you at? Why are you not intervening? And for most people, it's a simple thing of, are we having to be patient in this moment? Is it a time of waiting? Is it a time where maybe there's going to be some healing that God is going to have to do before we can get to this point? But no matter what, I think God calls us to be focused on his will and focused on his purpose. And so whatever hurt or whatever headache that you've went through, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, I think that we are called to focus on the Lord. He is the only one who can restore you. So if you are tired, if you're burnt out, if you're frustrated, if you're mad, if you're angry, if you're sad, if you're depressed, if you're whatever, here's what I want to say is that the Lord is the only one who can help you. And his word and his truth. And so if you're feeling one of those things right now, let me ask you this question. When was the last time you opened this book? When was the last time that you talked to God? Mother Teresa is one of my favorite people, and she once said, when she was in an interview about talking to God, she says that, I pray to God and tell him how I'm feeling. And then the question was asked, well, then what happens next? Well, then I listen. Well, what does God say? God listens. Now, I want you to know that God is listening to us, and God is listening to our concerns, and he cares about what is on our heart. He cares about what is going on in our life. He is concerned with you. And just as he was with Moses and just as he is with Joshua, it may not be in the same way. He may not be calling you for the same purpose, obviously, but he is calling you to an ultimate decision, and that's to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior. And he's calling you to the ultimate decision to be part of his church, which he loves and he redeems. Ephesians chapter 5 says that husbands are supposed to love their wives as Christ love the church. How much did Christ love the church? He died for it. And so God has sent his son Jesus to die to be our sacrifice. And so the final part of Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. With you wherever you go. He is there for you. He made a promise to Joshua, and we have promises that are extended to us through the church. You know what I love about the first church? If you go to the book of Acts, it's one of the greatest books in history to me because it tells about how the first church came together. And this isn't going to be on the screen, but I just want to share this to you. Just want to share this morning. Listen to what it says about the first church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship and the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders with miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and good. They gave to one another as he had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord, here's the thing, I want you to understand this, and the Lord added to their number daily to those being saved. Why is the church so important? It's because the church is the very hands and feet of the Lord. He's called us to be his missionaries. He's called us to be the ones who are to share the gospel. And so how do we do that? How do we stay focused? How do we be strong and courageous? Well, here's a couple of things I think you see in Joshua as you read on and as you see in the text. But here's the first point today. It's to follow God. You have to make a decision to say, all right, God, I'm going to follow you. And we often think about this as a decision that, yes, you're going to come and you're going to be baptized, you're going to repent of your sins. But more than that, that you're going to say you're going to follow to God. There is the transformation that has to happen, that God takes over your life. But then there also has to be the sanctification that is happening as this word is changing your heart and as this word is changing your life, and that you are becoming holy as God is holy, as the Bible says. And so we are seeking after God to be like God, to have everything model what God has said. So our speaker, Jody Burkeen, the other day and I were having a conversation, and he said, you know, the top three things are in his life were God, his wife, and his kids. And he said that in that order. And it's funny, when we were talking, I had that conversation with someone else this past week, that those were the top three things in my life and that nothing else can come in front of those, and they have to be in that order. For everything to be all right in my life, to me to really assume my purpose and the plan that God has for me, he has to be first. And then the second thing is that my wife, who I'm one flesh with, we have to be all right. We have to be working together. We have to be united in the Lord, because the Lord is in our marriage and he is the main person in our marriage. And then my kids. God has entrusted me with those kids to train them, to disciple them, to build them in the Lord. And so as we were talking about this, we were talking about just the distractions that happen in this world. And one of the things that I said was my phone. I mean, this is a great device that you can do so many things, but oftentimes this phone is right next to my bed, and the first thing I do is I wake up and I check something like email or text messages or Facebook or Instagram or whatever. And before I know it, I'll spend time looking at what someone ate. I don't care if you had a bologna sandwich, but for some reason, if you put a picture of it, I will sit there and stare at it for 30 seconds. Or then someone does something really stupid and posts like Fire Calipari. He's still back there, just wanting to create discussion and problems. But before, we'll lose focus, and that's what happens. But to me, this reminder from Joshua is a reminder from God to stay focused, to stay strong and courageous. And why is that? Because if we're going to follow God, we have to be strong and courageous. And what happens is, really, our church needs it, our community needs it, but our country needs it. As I said, just a couple of weeks ago, when my friend Chris Sanford came, he shared about Taiwan and the mission work that he's doing there. And one of the things that he told me in the lunch that we had together was this, that Taiwan looks at America, at the United States, as how to govern their country. They actually kind of look at us a little bit with morale and kind of how our morals should be. And so as he was talking about this, and he was telling me this, he said, they will be the first Asian country that will accept homosexual marriage because of the United States. And then he started talking about the abortion rate being the highest in all the world in Taiwan, partly to do because of the United States. And so oftentimes we think that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how we live. It doesn't matter. We're not really, it's my life and it's my focus, and I'm not going to be a problem to someone else. But I want you to know that people are watching us. There are other countries who are watching us. And this nation that's supposed to be founded on God has to come back to God. There's a bumper sticker that I saw the other day, and it said, God bless America. And it had, no, it should be America bless God. And so you think about this idea, and just in our country aspect, but I want you to know this, that your spouse is watching you, that your kids are watching you, your family is watching you. There are people who are watching you, and it is important that we follow God and stay focused on him, because people are watching us. And the decisions and how we determine to make laws, how we determine to govern the church, how we determine to live our life matters not just for our generations, but for the generations to come after us. And we cannot fail them. Because for the last 2,000 years, there's been godly men from the time of the apostles who gave their lives for the gospel. There have been women who've done the same. There have been preachers and priests who've testified, who've been martyred for their faith, to stand up for what's right. Because they've realized one thing. You don't answer to the person sitting next to you. You answer to God. And that is easy to forget. And I don't care if you've been a Christian your whole life or a Christian for 5 weeks, it is easy to forget. And so I'm sorry if you're not happy with the sermon today. I'm sorry if you don't like what I'm wearing. I'm sorry if you don't like this church service. I'm sorry if you don't like the music we played. I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you this. I have prayed, I've studied, and I've prepared for today, and I've shared the gospel, and I've shared God's word. And I've got to be faithful to Him. So let's be a church that stands up and follows God. And for us to do that, we really have to focus on His word. And that's our second point. We have to carry these around like we're carrying our cell phones. We have to be committed to these like it's the most important thing in the world. Because guess what? It holds the truth for us. It holds the truth for the world. And there are people dying out there for us. There's countries where they don't even get to read this. There's countries where, as we just saw last year, it's not even in their language to get to read. And we have this freely. And so we need to be people of the word. Just as the restoration movement was established, that we would be Bible people who would do Bible things. And so we need to be focused on the word. So we need to commit and say today, you know what? This word is going to guide me. Well, that sounds great. That's a great challenge. But let me take that challenge further. Today is the day that we say February 5th. It's Super Bowl Sunday, but it's Super Sunday. It's Super Sunday because we're celebrating Jesus' resurrection. We're not just celebrating on Easter, but we're celebrating right now. And we are going to start being a BYOB church. And not beer, but Bible. And we're going to carry our Bibles from now on. I want to see people carrying these Bibles. But more importantly, I want you to leave this place and I want you to go and dive into this thing. I want you to look at the truth. I want you to read it, not because it's going to make me feel better, but because it's going to help you and it's going to guide you and it's going to bring you closer to Jesus Christ. And if you don't know where to start, start in the Gospel of John. And just read the word that God has for you. And so we have to be a church that focuses on the word. And then here's the final thing. Final point today. As we have to fight the battle. There is a battle that is against us. Ephesians chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. But Ephesians chapter 6. Maybe one of the greatest scriptures on fighting the battle, about the armor of God. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Over and over, the Bible tells us to love one another, to love our brothers, to build each other up. In the book of Acts, it says that they were all in one accord. When I just read from Acts chapter 2, they were selling their possessions daily for one another. They were meeting in homes together because they loved one another. And what we have to have back in this church is love. Because the first thing is loving God's easy, right? Because God's lovable. He's perfect. He's holy. He's awesome. But you know what? Is oftentimes people say that the church is full of hypocrites. Well, the church is full of sinners because we're all sinners saved by grace. And so we all mess up. We all fall short. We all stumble. But what we have to do is to love our brothers and love our sisters in Christ. I'm not saying you agree with every single thing. I'm not saying that you have to be the best friends with them. But I'm saying this, you have to love them. Because here's the thing, Jesus loves them. Jesus loves them. and Jesus died for them. And maybe their walk isn't as strong as yours. Maybe they don't know as many Bible verses as you know. Maybe they're not a scholar like you are. Maybe they're not as intellectual as you are. Maybe they don't have as much time or resources to give. But they're here. They're trying to find how to live God. So why don't, instead of fretting to talk to them or meet them, love them? Because our fight's not against them. Our fight is against the evil one. But here's the thing, even though the battle may be hard today, we know the end of the story and we win the war because Jesus Christ wins the battle for us. He wins the victory for us. He claims it. And so even though right now it may look like our season's not going good, in the end we win. In the end we win. All we have to do is continue with the game plan. And the game plan is simple. To follow what this says. All we have to do is stick with the playbook. All we have to do is go back to the instructions. All we have to do is listen to what the coach, Jesus Christ, is saying. And once we just submit to that, then it's all going to be taken care of. We're getting ready to take communion. But before we take communion, we're going to have a time of invitation, a time that if you want to come and pray. And so here's what I'm going to offer today. Don and Carl will be up here. If you just want to pray, I just want to pray with you today. If you've just got something on your heart, we just want you to pray. If you want to talk about your relationship with the Lord, we can do that. There's going to be time. If you need to talk after service, it's going to be extended. That's fine. But would you pray with me this morning as we go into this time of invitation, as the worship team gets ready to come and lead us in a time of decision? But would you just pray with me and pray for your brothers and sisters and pray that God gives us the courage to be strong and courageous? Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for all the many blessings that, God, you pour out that we don't even see. And Lord, forgive us when we fall short. Forgive us of our many sins, God. Forgive us when we turn away from trying to do what you want us to do. And God, we turn a path that we think is going to be more successful, but we know that really it's not, God. We know, God, that the only way that we can ever truly be successful, the only way we can truly find happiness, to find joy that Philippians talks about, is through you. And so, Lord, as the worship team gets ready to lead us this morning, let it be a time that, Lord, we pray for one another. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that this is not just a time of us singing a song, but this is a time of us praying for brothers and sisters in this church. It's a time for us coming to the front of the stage and praying for family members, friends who may be lost. God, it is a time for us to seek your face. It's a time for us to bow at the cross and exalt your name. Lord, I pray that as a great Ed Bousman, the late, great Ed Bousman said, that we would be a people that would reach someone, somehow, in some way, this week. Lord, we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.